I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets that girl.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We discuss politics, sex, money, and everything in between. And now, here's your host, an immigrant, a self-made millionaire, an American, AJ Steele. Everything I say and do, I'm just not
good enough for you. I don't want to be the boy. Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. Today we have an interview with a very special woman, a lady who lost her only son to a low-life illegal alien gangbanger. She's an angel mom named Agnes Gibney, and we will hear from her very shortly. But before we get to her, I've wanted to talk about a few things that we've always known deep inside to be true and are now being officially confirmed. I'm talking about the Durham report that just came out the other day, proving once and for all that Hillary Clinton, alongside Barack Obama and Joe Biden, were all in together on this Russia hoax. The hoax that pretty much derailed Donald Trump's presidency for 3 years. But that's not even the worst thing about these findings. We all knew that Obama and Hillary and Senile Joe were crooked and would stop at nothing to attain more and more power and more money. But what's really stunning is the fact that the FBI and potentially other government agencies were in on it too. This is one of the most dangerous developments in our nation's history. If we can't trust law enforcement and the rest of the taxpayer-funded government agencies to be fair and impartial, then we might as well just throw in a towel and put up a sign saying, "Welcome to the Banana Republic of America." Very sad. But to be fair, everything that Biden and his overlords are systematically doing to destroy this nation absolutely pales in comparison to the situation that they've created in our southern border. We can whine about it. We can cry. Heck, we might as well get out the vote until we're blue in the face. But nothing beats demographics. And that's why the globalists are flooding our nation with third world illegal aliens. They are mostly illiterate. They are used to living under totalitarian regimes without any resistance. They work for cheap, and they will keep voting for the folks who offer them the most free stuff. In other words, they are the complete opposite in every single way of what true Americans are. Freedom-minded, opinionated, independent, compassionate, hardworking. And above all, Americans have a culture of rugged individualism with an incredible sense of fair play, Judeo-Christian morals, and patriotism. But nothing in this life, even travesties like unchecked illegal immigration, ever happens without a personal consequence. All of us have seen the millions of men and some women flooding our border or lining up for free housing and free food in our cities. All of us have seen tattooed gangsters and illiterate illegals refusing to learn English who fill up our emergency rooms and overload our failing school systems. Some of you might have even seen those annoying fruit stands in every street corner. Just like in Mexico, that's what America is starting to look like. Mexico, complete with the bums and the crime and the filth. But very few of us have paid the ultimate price. One of those people that paid that price is Angel Mom Agnes Gibney, whose beloved son Ronald was murdered by one of those supposedly hardworking, looking for a better life illegal aliens. But unlike most Americans whose lives would have been turned upside down because of all of this crime and unbearable tragedy, Agnes didn't just pipe down like a shrieking violet and take it. No, she decided to dedicate her life to fighting illegal immigration, and she took her campaign all the way to all of our major TV networks and even to President Trump's White House. And boy, is she getting things done. Here's a little excerpt of what you will hear from her in our next segment.
I'm telling you, walking in to the Oval Office the first time was like walking into heaven. It was like, oh my God, those golden colored drapes, those huge tall windows. And all I could think was, my God, I'm in the Oval Office with the president. And I was so honored. And President Trump sat down and we took a picture. And then he said, come and sit down. So we sat on the couch next to the fireplace. And he goes, you have no idea how bad things are in here for me. And President Trump says, look outside. Look at all the vultures out there. The Oval Office opens into the Rose Garden. And we looked, there were about 200 media because he was going to hold a press conference. And he goes, look at all the vultures out there. He says, you have no idea how difficult things are. I just wanted to get up and give the guy a hug. My heart just broke for him. You know, nobody deserves this. And he continued fighting until the very last second. He never gave up. And my heart just breaks for the man because nobody deserves to be treated like that, number one. No. And number two, I mean, he has done incredible things for this country and always put us first.
I told you she was great. And there's a lot more of that coming up in the next segment. Now, just before we take our first break, I'd like to thank all of you in the USA and the rest of the world who listened to us and put our show in the top 50 of all political podcasts in 4 continents at the same time this week. 4 continents. Not to mention those of you who have helped so many of our tweets go viral. As you may know, unlike all of our major competition, including Hannity and Shapiro and Mark Levin and Candace Owens, to name a few, we at the AJ Steele Show are 100% independent and 100% self-sponsored, which means that no one controls me or tells me what to say. No one. And unlike the rest of the guys and gals, I don't hawk anything and I never ask you for any money. I have my own and I most certainly don't plan to take any of yours. I only ask for one thing. I ask you to subscribe to our show, which is completely free and is available on iTunes and Spotify. And I ask that you spread the word about us to your family and friends. Okay, I think I've said enough. This is the AJ Steele Show, and we will be right back with Agnes Gibney, Angel Mom.
All I really want to be is the guy that gets the girl.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is.
You finally see your love belongs to me.
Agnes Gibney, welcome to the AJ Steele Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I know that you were just interviewed on Fox News this morning, and I'm so glad to have a chance to talk to you as well. Your journey has been very interesting, to say the least, and very tragic, and in many ways, inspiring. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and how is it that an immigrant like you ended up on the world's most important TV shows, and even in the Oval Office, meeting President Trump?
Well, I'll go all the way back. I was born in Budapest, Hungary. And my parents tried to escape in December of 1956 after the Soviet Union, the Russians, invaded our country. And they got caught because I woke up in the middle of nowhere crying. So the soldiers took everything away from my parents but did not arrest them. And we were with another couple. So in January, my parents went for the border again, this time with the help of a girlfriend of hers who worked in a pharmacy. She concocted a little something to help me sleep through the journey that they had to walk to get to the Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia border. And we were successful in crossing the border. It was like a very deep, wide ditch. And the man jumped, and then they helped the woman, and they threw my brother. He was 3.5 years older than me. So they directed us to a refugee camp where we remained for about 10 months. My little brother, Yadranko, was born there, unfortunately died there because they wouldn't allow my mother to leave to seek medical care. And by the time they allowed her to get out, they were admitting my little baby brother and he passed in her arms. My father was originally born in Yugoslavia and the government wanted us to stay there. And my mother said, no, we're coming to America. That was my mother's dream, to come to United States. But because my mother refused to stay in Yugoslavia, they did not allow us to go to the American embassy to legally immigrate to the U.S. They gave us a choice of South Africa. My mother said, forget that. Austria, she goes, no way, that's right next door. If there was a war, Austria is going to get it too, or Brazil. So we ended up in Brazil, where we lived for 13 years. My parents applied three times. The first two, the application lapsed. In those days, there were no forwarding mail. And the third time, by one day, we almost missed it. Luckily, we had a friend that worked at the American embassy, and he came knocking on a door, alerting us that the next day would be the last day to apply. And that's how our journey started. Then when I was 16, we legally immigrated to the United States. My father with a job contract. My parents had to sign a legal document stating that they would not apply for any public assistance. And my father opened a cabinet shop. He was a very skilled cabinet maker.
Well, that's an incredible story. I want to share with you that my family is also Hungarian. We left Hungary on different terms. My grandpa was from Budapest, and my grandma was from Miskolc, and they were a Jewish family. And my grandma was put on a train to Auschwitz with the rest of her family. And my grandpa, whom she met years later, was a partisan who fought the Nazis in the forests in Hungary and the rest of Europe. So I know about Eastern Europe. I know about the stories. And also, I'm an immigrant to America as well. It took my family about 10 years to come here legally. I think we share some similar stories. Now, I know that many of the other interviewers, they want to get down to brass tacks, and they ask you very quickly about your only son, Ronald Da Silva, who was the father of two children. You know, my extended family also had to deal with horrible tragedy of losing two sons, one who was murdered for no reason at all by black nationalists known as the Zebra Killers in the 1970s. And another one who died recently from a drug overdose.
So sorry.
Yeah, very, very sad. I know what it does to families. I really do. And if you don't mind, please tell us a little bit about your boy so that we never forget him.
Well, Ronald was born here in the United States. And after he was born about 4 months, I returned to Brazil with my ex-husband, with his father. And 2 years later, I ended up coming back because I couldn't stand the beatings, the domestic violence, the abuse that this man, every weekend, he would beat me up for no reason. If somebody said hello to me, I would get my face beat up. It got to the point that he was not even giving me money to buy food. I lost an incredible amount of weight. I was like 92 pounds when I came back to the United States. But I always protected my son. He was the perfect little boy. Didn't have to worry about him walking out of the house. He played inside. He was very respectful, loved animals. He was just a little, he was a good child. I mean, just a dream child. There was no, I never knew what terrible twos were or anything like that. And as he grew up, I mean, yeah, he had, you know, we had our little differences. You know, when you become a teenager, you know everything, right?
Of course.
But he was my son. I gave birth to him, and I loved him with all my heart. And he had the most infectious smile, beautiful smile. He beautiful bear hugs. So I miss those hugs. I miss him calling me mommy. And people would laugh and say, "Oh my God, Ronald is 29 years old and he still call you mommy." And I said, what's wrong with that? I am his mommy, you know, forever. And so I miss that. And the part that I that is very, very difficult to me, even today, 21 years after he has been murdered, is accepting. I can't accept. I can't. It just, there are times in my life that this pain, the grief just doesn't sink in. It just seems so surreal. I feel like I've been sleeping and I had a nightmare and I'm going to wake up and the nightmare never ends. And the unfortunate thing, Mother's Day coming up this weekend, it's a very sad time for me. I should be happy. I have two daughters, but it's just incredibly difficult because I buried my son a week before Mother's Day. And I will never forget that first Mother's Day, how everybody wanted me to smile and be happy. And it was just the most incredibly difficult thing for me to do.
Agnes, I totally hear you. And I totally understand. Now, he didn't just die out of the blue. He was murdered.
He was murdered.
How was he murdered?
As we said before, Ronald had two boys. They were 8 and 10, Matthew and Marcel. He had gone over to his best friend's house. He was talking to his best friend, Robert, at the edge of the driveway. He was facing the back of the driveway, and Robert was facing the street when my son noticed this gang member coming from the bushes from behind, holding a gun. And I just found out last year, ironically, because Robert passed away all of a sudden, at his memorial service, his mom told me that my son gave her son, Robert, 20 years of life. And I said, what do you mean gave him 20 years of life? And she said, didn't I ever tell you? And I said, tell me what? And she told me that when Ronald saw the guy coming, pointing a gun, my son pushed Robert out of the way, and he's the one that got the bullet in the arm, and the bullet went across his chest, and he died in surgery. He literally bled to death.
I'm so sorry about that. And this gang member who killed him, he was an illegal alien, right?
An illegal alien, previously deported gang member. And he came back and... Here's the problem that I have with the judicial system. If the judge would have done his job when he came back and got rearrested, the judge would have said, now, wait a minute, what are you doing here? You have been deported. In those days, there were no sanctuary state. There was none of that. They should have turned him over to the federal government, and he would have been prosecuted for reentering the country illegally and possibly given 10, 15, 20 years in federal prison, none of which happened. In fact, if I may say something, during the trial, which lasted about a year of all the continuances, the games that these gang members play, the judge pleaded with the killer to take a plea bargain. He was going for first degree or second degree murder, and the judge pleaded with him to take a plea bargain. And I was just dumbfounded. The second time he goes, Mr. Gonzalez, are you sure you don't want to take a plea bargain? You still be a young man and have time with your children. And I thought, he didn't just say that.
Yeah.
He didn't just say that in front of me. And he ended up taking a plea bargain, voluntary manslaughter, got the max 11 years plus 10 years for using a firearm. 21 years, but he reduced it to 85%. And even that got reduced because he was released in November 22nd, 2019.
Well, that's California for you. Agnes, I'm going to have to take a short break, and we will be right back with you. This is the AJ Steele Show.
You are listening to the AJ Steele Show, where no topic is off limits, no discussion too harsh, no truth more true. The AJ Steele Show. We tell it like it is.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets the girl. All I really want to be.
So moving forward, it sounds like after you got past your initial shock and heartbreak, you decided to become a warrior for the rest of America's children, a real angel mom. How did you end up meeting with President Trump and becoming a fixture on so many major TV networks?
Well, I'll tell you, I was Sean Hannity had a town hall in Austin, Texas, that I was invited to. And we sat on the stage with President Trump, three angel moms at a time. And then after that, we went to a huge stadium where President Trump was going to speak. And when we were called upon the stage, I was standing next to President Trump. I'm 5'4", and President Trump is gigantic. You know, he's really tall, and I'm looking and looking. Anyways, I tapped him on the arm, and he didn't feel it, and I tapped a little harder. And I said, "Mr. Trump, can I say something for 1 minute? Because only one angel mom spoke. Was allowed to speak, which was Laura Wilkerson, who was on the interview with Fox and Friends first early this morning. And President Trump looked at me, looked away. He looked at me. I said, "Just 1 minute." And he looked at me. He goes, "1 minute?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Okay, sweetheart." So I got up on the stage. In front, there were hundreds, probably, I don't know, thousands of people in that auditorium and arena. And I said, "My name is Agnes Gibney. I'm a legal immigrant. My only son, Ronald Da Silva, was murdered by a previously deported criminal illegal alien. Please vote for President Trump so your child won't end up 6 feet under like my son did. Thank you." Boom. And wow. I went back, and President Trump looked at me. He goes, "Thank you." And then next time I saw him was in Arizona, in Phoenix, at the convention center. He was going to have another rally. And we were backstage, and President Trump comes out, and he points his finger at me and says, you, and I'm thinking, "Oh my God, what did I do?" And he says, "You are a great speaker." And I said, "Me?" He says, "You." And we took a picture. And then from that point on, it's like we had this mutual respect. And I gotta say, for those that have never met him, he's a very humble man. He is a good man. I love the fact that he speaks his mind. At least you know where he stands. And I don't mind it at all. I'd rather have that than have what we have in the White House right now. And I have high respect for the man, and my heart breaks for him, because for the past 6 years or over 6 years, he has been persecuted like no other in the history of this country. It is absolutely unfair what this poor man has to endure. They don't give him a break. No. They just don't give him a break, and it's unfair. I hope karma comes back huge and bites these people back with twice the force that they're giving, the heartache that they're giving President Trump.
Well, a lot of people who hate him called him a racist and a xenophobe for daring to say what many of us think about illegal aliens. And he was calling out the brainwashed lefties, the ideologues, people that don't live in the real world. He was basically challenging things that they believe in and are simply not true. Crazy fantasies that they're all hardworking and they're all good people who escape persecution and just want to make a better life in America. Trump just called it like it was. And a lot of them are criminals, and a lot of them are rapists. And their nations were not sending us their best people.
Look, AJ, I am a legal immigrant too. And I know the value and the dream that everybody wants a piece of the American dream. But you have to do it legally. We are a nation of laws, number one. And number two, growing up in Brazil, I got to know the Latino culture quite well. And I love the Latino culture because, you know, growing up from age 3 to 16 in Brazil with Latinos, and you just can't get that out of my system. But the reality is, most of these people, I would say 95% of these people coming into our country illegally is the riffraff of leftover, the uneducated, the accomplished nothing kind of people. And the sad thing is, and now some people are going to call me racist. I am not racist at all. I judge everybody based on their character, but the fact still remains. There are millions of illegal aliens living in this country, for 10, 20, 30 years, and they still do not speak English. That is a real problem. Disrespect to the country in the first place. You cannot assimilate, and you will not respect the country unless you assimilate. I'm not saying forget your culture, mm-hmm. but you have to assimilate and respect the country you're living in. And most of these people are going to amount to nothing. Cost of living, as you know, in California or California is extremely high. Now, you tell me someone with no skills, how are they going to make a living here in California? How are they going to make a living anywhere?
Well, they'll be wards of the state, or they're going to be criminals. Now, getting back to Trump a little bit,
as far as I'm concerned, he did the best he could to stop these illegal aliens from overrunning our country and destroying it.
And this was despite multiple lawsuits from lefty organizations who make billions of dollars from the business of housing and taking care of them.
And he had constant opposition, not just from the Democrats, but also from the rhinos, from the Republicans. Don't forget that he had the House and the Senate for the first 2 years of his presidency.
But it's been over 3 years since he was president, and it seems to me that all of his hard work was for nothing. From estimates I've read, Biden let anywhere from 4 to 8 million illegals into our country since he became president.
And I'm not even starting to talk about Title 42, which just expired. What are your thoughts about Biden and the Democrats?
This is not the Democrats that we knew 30 years, 40 years ago anymore. This is a bunch of communist Democrats. Mm-hmm. Biden has been asleep for the past 2 years. VP Kamala Harris, the disgusting, inept woman, is just, it's just embarrassing. Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, is another disgrace. They all should be imprisoned for creating this chaos. They have been all asleep at their jobs because this didn't just happen yesterday. And what a hypocrisy when the minute this demented guy, the minute he was sworn in, he went back and undid everything Trump has put in place to secure our borders and protect our country. And he created this chaos. And a few months after, like 2, 3 months, 4 months after, the media was reporting thousands pouring in, coming to the border, busloads, I mean, 3,000, 6,000 at a time. You can't sustain this. You just can't. And he did absolutely nothing. He hid in the basement because, you know, there's a little comparison. Trump would come out every day and talk to the media and take their hard questions because some of the media was really hard on President Trump. Why isn't the media doing that to this demented guy in the White House? No, he has a little card with a picture of who the reporter is going to be and what the question is going to be and what his answer should be. No, put him out there. Let's expose this hypocrisy. Our country has been taken over by socialist agenda. And I've been saying this for about 6 years. Is that we have become officially a socialist country. To a minor degree, not a full-blown yet.
Not but yet.
We are.
You know, the last interview we did was with a Chinese woman who escaped communist China. And she spoke about this because she understands the master plan. The one thing I disagree with you about is that Biden is asleep at the wheel. I don't think he's asleep.
He's just a part of the New World Order plan to change the face and the demographics of America.
Now, he's not the brains behind it. He's the face. But all this illegal immigration, all these things that are happening to America, and even to white people, let's just be honest about it, the white middle class,
it's a part of a concentrated plan to diminish their voting power and their financial power and to silence them. Now, this is not only against white people per se. It's about any person in the middle class who has the guts and the ability to think for themselves. And I think that it's a huge error to assume or to think that the left is incompetent. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris may appear to all of us like a pair of foolish clowns, because they are.
but their bosses are not stupid and they're not incompetent. As a matter of fact, they're winning.
Now, I find it interesting that you and I are both immigrants, and it took both of our families a long time
and a lot of hard work and money to enter this country legally.
And yet these illegal lawbreakers are not only coddled to death by the liberals, but they get to enter here carte blanche and they get everything for free. It's almost like our nation rewards laziness and criminality
and penalizes hardworking Americans and folks who do things the right way.
They do, because when you think about it, AJ, during the pandemic, most mom-and-pop little stores were closed. They were finished. And this is how communism works. There is no private-owned businesses. It's all government-owned. This way, nobody can progress and do better than somebody else because everybody's held back in the same level.
Agnes, you're 100% correct. But unfortunately, I have to take a short break. I do promise you that when we get back, I'm going to ask you some personal questions about President Trump and about how you met him. And I know that you have a lot of interesting things to tell us, including a few surprises.
AJ Steele, not right, not left, just right.
I immigrated to America as a child in the 1980s, and I have to admit that President Trump is the best president of my lifetime. And I'm not a fanboy. I never really cared for Trump before. I don't fall in love with people, but I like action. And I like results. And he showed us both of those. Now, Agnes, when was the moment that you decided to start supporting him?
When President Trump came down the escalator and he announced his candidacy and talked about the border, I jumped up and I said, there is my president. And everybody around me looked and said, oh, come on. He is nothing but the apprentice guy. He's never going to be the president. They say he's going to be my president. I just knew it from that moment on. And I stayed loyal to him because he had the same interest, the same love for this country that I have. And he put America first, unlike these other presidents that we have had.
Agnes, in our pre-interview, you told me about a weird, interesting interaction you had with Kellyanne Conway, which led to your last meeting with President Trump, a meeting that gave you a very unique perspective into his frame of mind and an insight to a private person, a private Donald Trump that most of us don't know about. I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about it.
Let me tell you, the last time we were in the White House, the day before on Valentine's Day, we were going to have a little rally in front of the White House, and Kellyanne Conway found out. And she said, don't you dare, I mean, she was yelling, don't you dare have a rally in front of the White House, and what the hell you think? No, no, no. And I don't know what happened. Like 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, Trump called and said, I didn't know the Angel Moms were in town. He says, tell them to come in tomorrow, 9 a.m.
Wow.
Anyway, so 9 a.m., we were in the White House in the Oval Office. And I'm telling you, walking in to the Oval Office the first time was like walking into heaven. It was like, oh, my God, those golden colored drapes, those huge tall windows. And all I could think was, my God, I'm in the Oval Office with the president. How many Americans get to do that?
True.
And I was so honored. And President Trump sat down and we took a picture. And then he said, come and sit down. So we sat on the couch next to the fireplace. And he's like this, he goes, you have no idea how bad things are in here for me. And I looked, he's never alone in the room with us. There was some other workers there, and Kellyanne Conway and Steve Miller was there. And President Trump says, look outside, look at all the vultures out there. You know, the Oval Office opens into the Rose Garden. We looked, there were about 200 media because he was going to hold a press conference that morning. And he goes, look at all the vultures out there. He says, you have no idea how difficult things are. I just wanted to get up and give the guy a hug. My heart just broke for him. You know, nobody deserves this. And he continued fighting until the very last second. He never gave up, never gave up. And my heart just breaks for the man because, you know, nobody deserves to be treated like that, number one.
No.
And number two, I mean, he has done incredible things for this country and always put us first. And how, you know, some of these people need to be in prison, for God's sake. And you know, AJ, that in a communist country, if you go against your government, they will either execute you or put you in labor camp.
And they'll never hear from you again. I mean, look at what they're doing right here in America to the January 6th protesters. Now, let me ask you another question. I know that Trump isn't the only conservative leader, and he isn't the only one trying to deal with illegal immigration. I'm sure you know Governor Abbott of Texas and Governor DeSantis of Florida, and they've both been doing some interesting things that are getting a lot of attention. They've been busing all of these illegals to New York and Chicago and Martha's Vineyard. Do you think that has any real impact, or do you think that's just optics?
I honestly don't see the benefit of that. Yeah, okay, you take him out of your state and put him in someplace else. We're still paying for them because our federal tax dollars are going to these illegal aliens. What we should do is put him on a bus and put him back over the border. Let Mexico deal with that.
That's a very interesting perspective. Now, let me ask you a hypothetical question, Agnes. Let's pretend that you're the president of the United States tomorrow. What would you do with over 40 million illegals that I believe are living in our country? And what would you do to stop more of them from coming over?
Number one, enforce E-Verify, make it a law. Every job has to send in information of the employee into a database. And if that's a fake social security number or a dead person's social security number, you're imprisoned, charged, and immediately deported. No waiting 5 years, 3 years, immediately deported. Number one. Number two, I would start hitting, instead of hiring 87,000 people to check on us to the IRS, I would hire 100,000 agents to go into businesses and check people's status in this country. Number three, I would immediately stop giving driver's licenses. And another thing I would do if I were a president, voter ID card. Mm. And if you vote illegally, 5 years minimum in prison. Boom. No question about it. And I would immediately stop birthright citizenship, because that's how a lot of them get a lot of our benefits.
True.
And start deporting. Start deporting. If it's 1,000 a year, it's 1,000 less. I am sorry. You came to this country. You used us financially. Enough is enough.
Eisenhower did that, actually. He deported, I believe, over 1 million people. So it is possible and it can be done, even though I don't think it's going to happen. There's no will in America for it. Having said all that, I'd like to point out that everything that you proposed makes perfect sense. It's logical. It's doable. But as you're probably aware by now, there are forces in this country that are much greater than you or I, or even President Trump. And they run this world, and they would do anything they can to continue flooding the U.S. and Europe, too, by the way, with third world illegals. There are so many problems facing our nation, and there's no question that if we continue the path that we're on, we're going to be ruined. We'll either go broke, or another nation will attack us, or both. Are you optimistic about the future of America?
With a heavy heart, I want to say yes, but my mind is saying no. I think when we had 2018 and they kept saying, this is going to be a red wave, and I knew it wasn't going to be a red wave. I could feel it. I could see it. It wasn't. 2020 is going to be a red wave. It wasn't. 2022 is going to be a red wave. It wasn't. What makes anybody think that 2024 is going to be a red wave? It's not. I think that there's too many things that don't add up. This allowing people to vote for 1 month, it just opens up a lot of doors for irregularities and maneuvering things. Voting should be like it used to be. Get your paper ballot, you mark your ballot, you put it in the box, and that night you get the count.
Yep.
Not 30 days from now. And make it a national holiday. Every business is closed on November 3rd. Everybody has the duty and obligation to go vote. I don't care if you go vote 6, 7 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night, but go vote.
You know, Agnes, third world countries are able to process votes that way. And us, with all of our technology, we can't. Obviously, something is not right here, but I can't say too much about it because I want this show to stay on the air. Agnes, is there a final message you have for the audience of the AJ Steele Show? And just so you know, we have tens and sometimes even hundreds of thousands of listeners, not just here in the U.S., but in Europe, Asia, Australia, and the rest of the world.
I would like to ask everyone to please get involved. Don't just sit back, expect somebody else to do it for you. Call, find out what your congressman, congresswoman are doing. And if they're not representing you, go to their office and hold them accountable and tell them, remind them, you work for us, not the other way around. You don't get to just do whatever the heck you want to do when you want to do it. You listen to your constituents. Get involved. Watch, pay attention to what is happening. Get vocal. Run for office. One of the most stressful things I've done was run for Congress in 2020. I didn't win. People said, oh, you're going to get, since this is your first time, so you're going to be lucky if you get 20,000 votes. I got 2,750,000 votes, and I'm very honored. I was very honored to be on the same ballot with my president, Donald Trump. But run for local offices, for school board. Pay attention to what's happening, because this didn't just start today. This started years ago, this manipulation, this brainwashing your children in schools. Talk to your children. Find out what it is that you're studying in school. Because a lot of the kids, they think that they have to follow what the teacher is saying because they are the teachers. They know better. But what they are doing is brainwashing your children. Get involved. It's your children. This is the future of our country. They are the future of our country.
From your lips to God's ears. Agnes Gibney, thank you so much for coming on the AJ Steele Show. It's been a great honor and a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you nothing but true happiness and peace of mind.
Thank you. Likewise. And if I may say, I don't know when this goes out, but to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day, and also to the ones in heaven, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you too.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl. All I really want to be. All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl.
The AJ Steele Show, copyrighted 2023.